This is Julie Hewitt, Chair of the Pacifica National Board. This is the regular meeting of Thursday, August 17th, 2023. We had a closed session. We've moved into open session. And I just realized we just made a little bit of a goof because I didn't put it on the agenda, but it is 9:47 PM on the East Coast, and I will, now that I've called this meeting to order, I'll ask, Nancy Sorden, the secretary, to call the roll.
I don't see Nancy on the.
She's here.
She's muted, she's muted, however. She's muted, yeah. She's talking.
Nancy, you're still muted.
There, can you hear me now?
Yes, go for it.
Okay. Teresa Allen.
Present.
Thank you. Adriana Casanave.
Present.
Thank you. James Dingman.
Here.
Thank you. Vanessa Dixon Briggs. Fred Dodsworth.
Here.
Thank you. William Foster.
Bill, you're muted.
Here.
Thank you. Sue Goodwin.
Muted.
All right, go on. I'll come back to you. Heather Gray.
Here.
Thank you. Donna Grimes.
Present.
Thank you. Julie Hewitt.
Here.
Thank you. Avelia Jones.
Here.
Thank you. Ali Lexa.
Muted.
Ali Lexa, you're muted.
Sue Goodwin's not muted now.
I will come back to you.
Can't hear Ali.
Marianne Martinez.
Here.
Thank you.
Ali's
James
here.
James McFadden.
James McFadden's here.
Thank you. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Thank you. Sean Rhodes.
I am here.
Thank you. James Sagerton.
Here.
Thank you. Sharon Salon.
He's muted.
Uh-huh. I'll come back to you, Sharon. Aki Tanaka.
Oh, yeah.
I'm here.
Thank you. Elizabeth Von Grunten.
Here.
Thank you. Egberto Willis. I think
he was.
Egberto okay. Asked for an excused
okay.
Absence.
All right. And I'll go back. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
I'm here.
Thank you. Sue Goodwin.
Here.
Thank you. Ali Lexa.
Present.
Thank you. Sharon Salam.
Here.
Thank you. 20 are present.
I thought it was Grimes who did not sign in. Not Goodwin.
No.
Oh, it sounded like you early.
Yeah, it was Goodwin.
Okay, thank you.
So the next of the preliminary items that I'm supposed to do is a report out from the executive session of the August 3rd, 2023 meeting of the PMB. The PMB met in closed session to discuss confidential financial, legal, and contractual matters and took no actions. The next item that I put on the agenda was a report out from the executive session that we just finished moments ago of the August 17th, 2023 meeting. We didn't actually take the time to create a report out, but I'm going to go out on a limb, folks, and give a report out, which is that the PNB met in closed session to discuss confidential legal matters and took the following action. And now I'm going to read the motion that we passed, which says, whereas Pacifica has lost its liability insurance for lack of payment of insurance premiums, and whereas Pacifica is effectively self-insuring for any liability until such time as the foundation is able to secure commercial coverage again, therefore be it resolved that until further notice, any visitors to Pacifica units who are not paid employees of the foundation or one of its units must sign the attached indemnity release and liability waiver form or be denied entry into the unit's facility. And the indemnity release of liability and waiver form is a two-page form that all the GMs will have shortly that they can share with people who want to go into the stations. That includes volunteer programmers, volunteers, contractors, or any other visitors to stations. In other words, everyone but paid employees. Okay. So that's getting us past that preliminary item. Excused absences. The only absence we have is Egberto Willis, and he requested an excused absence. Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second? Someone want to second the motion to excuse Egberto's absence, please?
Second.
Thank you.
Second.
Yep. Any objections to the motion to excuse Egberto's absence? Hearing none, we'll consider him excused. Identifying timekeepers. I need someone for people.
You got me. Actually, you told us that we would be timekeepers for both.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I got to go through the motion here again. Items. Heather, are you willing to continue? Timing items, Heather.
I'm sorry. Yes, I am. Yes.
Great. Thank you. Okay. That brings us to the next item on the agenda, which is approval of the open portion of the agenda. That's a 5-minute item. Then comes approval of minutes of open sessions, if we have any. Next is open discussion of motions on terms for those elected in the 2023 elections. Then there's a motion on community advisory boards from the Strategic Planning Committee. Then there's a motion on consultants during the current financial crisis. There's a general counsel report, but Arthur actually won't be part of the open session this evening. There's an ED report and Q&A, and then it's unfinished business, new business, and then moving back into executive session at a time certain of 10:50 p.m. So we have a bunch of things to do, but hopefully some of these will be fast items. I move the open portion of the agenda. Can I get a second?
Second.
Thank you, Sharon. Any discussion of the open portion of the agenda? Hearing no discussion, are there any objections to approving the open portion of the agenda? Hearing no objections, we'll consider the open portion of the agenda approved. That takes us to approving minutes of open sessions. I think we might not have. Thank you. Right. Well, do we have any, Nancy?
No, you're right. You're right. Nope. We don't.
No minutes to approve. Okay. Thank you.
Still in process.
Okay. So that brings us to the next item on the agenda, which is open session discussion of motions on terms for those elected in the 2023 elections. And I will once again read this motion. Okay, so let me preface this by saying, and we're going to have to figure out how to do this exactly. But the way the motion is structured is it's drafted as three possible motions where all three motions have the same whereas clauses, and then there are simply three options for the resolving clauses. And I will read the whereas clauses first, and then I'll come back. Whereas there were insufficient funds to hold elections in 2022, which was year two of Pacifica's three-year election cycle in which half the delegates would be elected. Whereas the PMB passed a motion on October 20th, 2022, providing that delegates whose terms would have ended in 2022 would continue to serve in 2023 if Pacifica failed to hold elections. Whereas delegates whose terms would have ended in 2022 were either in their first term and therefore eligible to run again, or in their second term and therefore ineligible to run again, according to the Pacifica bylaws. And the delay from 2022 to 2023 in holding elections does not change that eligibility status. Whereas Pacifica is in the midst of the election cycle for 2023, with the record period having passed, the period for candidate nomination having closed, the ballots not yet sent to members and ballots slated to be sent to voters in the second half of August. And whereas it's important for voters to understand before they cast their votes, the length of terms to which successful candidates would be elected and serve. Okay. That's the end of the whereas clauses. And you'll notice that when they were drafted, there were two things that did not quite pass the test of time, saying that the ballots had not yet been sent out. And that they would be sent to voters in the second half of August. Well, that part, I guess, technically was true, but we're also in the second half of August now. So there are three options for how to set up the resolving clauses. Let me just explain what they are in plain language first. Option one is candidates are elected for 2 years. Option two is candidates are elected for 3 years. Did I say option two? Option two is candidates are elected for 3 years. And option three is some people are elected for 2 years and some people are elected for 3 years. Okay. What we could do, folks, is and I will read the resolving clauses as we decide how to do this, but what we could do is vote on them in order that they're listed here. And as soon as we pass one, then we're done. The other thing we could do is we could, have a member. If somebody wants to do this move that we use one of these resolving clauses, and then we could have discussion I'm trying to figure out how we vote on three different things and make sure that we, get the best of all possible worlds. I guess I didn't think that one through all that carefully, but
Madam Chair.
Yeah, go ahead, Dingman.
Well, may I recommend that you read each of them and then we vote on them in order.
Okay. Right. And if you don't, that's right. And if we do it that way, then the point is if you don't like an option, if you have, vote against it, and then, the vote count, we'll see what the top option winds up to be based on the vote counts.
Chair, your point of information, please.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay. In terms of, can there be some discussion about maybe all of them as a whole, or, if we have any questions. I certainly have a question about one option.
Absolutely. And I guess I was just trying to, technically speaking, I have to read the options, I think, but yes, there will be time for discussion. Absolutely. Positively. I see Adriana's hand, and then I'll come to you, Dingman. Go ahead, Adriana.
Yes, Madam Chair. I believe that the bylaws are very clear. We already initiate this process, and we told the people that we are running And the bylaws say that they're 3-year terms. I don't think that we can change anything without changing the bylaws. We don't have this option. And the ballots went out, and the people that are running are already running according to the bylaws. And the bylaws talk about 3 years. Obviously, like in my case, when you run your 6th year, and in my case will be after, if I'm reelected, will be after 2 years, obviously I step out of the board and somebody replaces me. We don't need to invent the things that in a way is kind of modifying or changing the bylaws without going to the process of changing. I believe that the bylaws are very clear. We need to run for, and the NES already spoke about this issue, and they said the bylaws said that you run for 3 years. It's not fair for a lot of people thinking that they are running for 3 years and then we change the terms. Thank you.
Hey, actually, I recognized you because I thought you were asking a question about how to go about doing the voting, not speaking to a particular option, because I didn't read them yet. Okay. Option one. Therefore, be it resolved that all candidates running in the 2023 delegate elections are running for 2-year terms. All right, I'm going to mute you, Sagerton, because it's background noise. Okay, where was I? Are running for 2-year terms, and that the elections.pacifica.org website and the ballot shall reflect this information. Pacifica Elections would return to the Article 4, Section 3 schedule of holding elections in years 1 and 2 and no elections in years 3, i.e. elections in 2024 and 2025, but not in 2026. Option 2, this is the 3-year option. Therefore, be it resolved that all candidates running in the 2023 delegate elections are running for 3-year terms, and that the elections.pacifica.org website and the ballot shall reflect this information. This would also require a Pacifica bylaws change to the Article 4, Section 3 schedule of holding elections from years 1 and 2 and no elections in year 3 to, that is TO, to holding years 1 and 3 with no elections in years 2, i.e. elections in 2024 and 2026, but not in 2025. Option 3. Therefore, be it resolved that candidates running in the 2023 delegate elections are running for a mix of 2-year and 3-year terms, with some candidates eligible to run only for a 2-year term, and but for that exception, the top voters shall get 3-year terms and the remaining elected delegates getting 2-year terms, and that the elections.pacifica.org website and the ballot shall reflect this information. Pacifica Elections would return to the Article 4, Section 3 schedule of holding elections in years 1 and 2 and no elections in years 3, i.e. elections in 2024 and 2025, but not in 2026. Okay, those are the 3 options. Vanessa.
So what would be the criteria or the threshold for figuring out for option 3, how many quote unquote winners would get a 3-year term versus a 2-year term?
Okay. So I think the answer to that is that, it would depend on how many seats for each LSB are currently filled by people who are running for a second term. In other words, that they ran, so these would be people who ran in 2019 and got elected and served a 3-year term that would have ended in 2022, but are running again in 2023. They've already been serving, you know, for a 4th year. It's those people who could really technically only run for a 2-year seat because in effect, they've already served the first year of their second 3-year term. That's what I meant to say. Right. And so those are the people who are only eligible for a 2-year term. Anybody who's running, who basically who's not running for reelection would be eligible for a 3-year term. That doesn't mean all of them get a 3-year term, because it may be the case that, depending on, you know, the number of open seats, that, it may be that the bottom vote getters of that category would have to fill 2-year seats as opposed to 3-year seats.
So both of those, I'm sorry, I just want to ask a follow-up. So both of those options recognize and respect the 6-year limitation, correct?
Both of options 1 and 3.
Okay, thank you.
Chair, this is Sean.
Yeah, go ahead, Sean.
Move on to the stat.
Gotcha, Sharon. Go ahead, Sean.
I don't want to derail the conversation. I just want to make a quick amendment, and that is for all three options where it says, and the ballot shall reflect this information. We don't need that part. So we can just strike in all three options where it says, and the ballot, and then just pick up, but leave the rest of it as it's stated there. Is there a second to that?
Yeah, thank you. Is there a second to Sean's amendment?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Teresa. Okay, so now we're strictly speaking, discussing, and I know you had your hand up, Sharon, and I'll come to you, but now I have to, we can only talk about the Sean's amendment. Go ahead, Sean, do you want to say something about it?
Well, I did want to find out.
I said Sean, not Sharon. Sorry.
I didn't want to say anything more about it. I just wanted to find out once we get that disposed of, then we can go back to the stack and people can start talking about all three options. But I just wanted to get that little section there amended and off the table.
Fair enough. Thank you. Are there others who want to discuss Sean's amendment? I think this is a second place where Sean's making a really good point that, you know, in drafting this, some portions of it didn't stand the test of time. Teresa, is that why your hand's up?
No.
Nancy?
So it's he moved to strike the phrase and the ballot shall reflect this information.
Well, technically, I'm just striking and the ballot and leaving the rest of the wording in all three options. Wherever it says and the ballot, just strike that in all three options because it's the ballots have already gone
elections out. And that the electionspecifica.org shall reflect this information.
Yes.
That the electionspecifica.org website. Shall reflect this information.
Shall, okay, got it. Thank you.
Got it. Okay, thank you. Nancy's got it. So any further discussion of Sean's amendment?
Is there a second?
Yes.
A second? I seconded it.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Teresa did.
Thank you.
Any further discussion of Sean's amendment? Hearing none, are there any objections to Sean's amendment? Hearing none, we'll consider each of the three resolving clauses so amended. Okay, now we're back to discussing the motion. So I had recognized or I had acknowledged that Sharon was next. Go ahead, Sharon.
Well, in each one of these amendments, not amendments, but in each one of these proposals for this change, at what point do we reach the bylaws as it was in terms of everyone having the 3 years, or is this a permanent fix?
That's a good question. So, what I would argue is that after the 2023 election, if we pass option one, we are back exactly on, the schedule for elections as elections and terms is established in the bylaws. If we go with option two, we are effectively, without a bylaws amendment vote, we are effectively putting Pacifica on a cycle, and we would have to amend the bylaws to do this, but we will, if we pick option two, it perpetuates the delay. And so what it means is it turns elections into, you know, being in years 1 and 3 of the 3-year cycle, not 1 and 2 as the bylaws read. And the reason why is because otherwise you'll have people running for seats that incumbents are sitting in. And the option 3 where you have, some people running for 2-year and some people running for 3-year, assuming we have good records, it would resolve itself relatively quickly, but it's unclear. And as I said, it's assuming we have good records about who does what. Which seats are, need to be filled and which ones, somebody's already at six years. And then the other thing too is option 2 relies on us knowing, us collectively knowing, when we get to the end of 2025, that some people will have to resign. And so in that sense, that means seats that then therefore have to be filled. So that's kind of, I hope that answers your question, Sharon.
Yes.
Okay. I see other hands. I see Teresa, Vanessa, and Adriana. Go ahead, Teresa.
Does option number 2 mean we have to have, physically have to have more elections?
No.
I'm sorry, fewer elections. Does option number 2 mean that we have fewer elections than option number 1?
It does not. In both cases, we have elections 2 years out of 3. It's just that option 1 puts us back on the years 1 and 2 schedule after this 3-year cycle, which this is the 3rd year of. We would not have had elections in 2023, but for the 2022 elections being moved into 2023.
We have to have another election next year anyway, right? Whether 1 or 2.
That is correct.
Madam Chair, you're amazing to be able to explain this. Thank you.
I'm not saying that my head doesn't hurt and that I wouldn't love a glass of water right now if anybody could get me one. Vanessa, you're next.
So given that options 1 and 3, according to your explanation, respect the 6-year time limit, then what is, in your opinion, the difference between the two?
So I think the difference between the two is, in option 1, everybody knows what kind of terms everyone is running for, right? If that were the motion that we passed after tonight, everyone would know how long the terms people were filling were for. In option number 3, I think there's potential for future confusion because some people will get 2-year terms, some people will get 3-year terms. And so it won't be easy for people to go back and look at the elections results or to know what year. And this is one of the things that we're not, I think, particularly good at at Pacifica. We often think of the year someone got elected as telling us when they started serving. And that doesn't always turn out to be the case, right? Because you can be a runner up in an election year and not get initially seated, but then as a seat becomes vacant, get seated later. But when you get seated is when your term starts. And so that's the part that's confusing. We keep good records on when people were elected at the foundation level, but we don't have good records at the foundation level, of how long everybody has been serving at an LSB. And then, of course, one of the things that does happen, and it's unfortunate, but then there, can be a dispute over how long someone has served. And it's invariably, a factional dispute on a particular LSB. And then somebody brings it to the PNB. And this is the part where the PNB is working at, operating at a disadvantage. So anyway, so there's more uncertainty with option 3, I think. And honestly, you know, as an organization, we are, you know, we've got our nose just above the waterline, folks, right? And so I think, all things considered, anything that we can do that makes it more likely that we'll succeed in the future is better, right? And so let's not set ourselves up for, you know, difficulties down the road. I mean, obviously everyone hopes that we'll be doing much better, you know, in a small number of years, you know, and that even someday we'll look back on this and say, you know, wow, we made it, you know, but we're not there yet. And so I just feel like when we've got this easy choice or this choice that's sort of some straightforward options, you know, we might want to think about, you know, picking something that imposes the least burden on the future.
Madam Chair, the time is up on this item.
Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Vanessa. Adriana, did you want to perhaps make a motion to extend at least to exhaust the stack?
So move.
Is there a second to Adriana's motion to exhaust the stack of second. Adriana? Thank second. You, Sharon. Any objections to the motion to extend to exhaust the stack of one? Hearing none. Go ahead, Adriana.
Yes, Madam Chair. I believe that the way that this was explained is not exactly what I can read in the motions. According to what I can read, all of them, the only one that doesn't require to do anything is number two, because we follow exactly what the bylaws said. We don't need to do anything else. The only problem that the other two, you can say that it's more easy, it's not easy. We have Article 4, Delegate Section 8, Terms of Office and Term Limit, that explain very clear. We don't need to tell people, well, you are elected, but then in 2 years, because the bylaws say so. The bylaws said that once that you cover your 6 years, you need to step down. Then we don't need to say that these people ran for 2 years. The seats are 3 years. That is what the explanation is. The personnel, the delegates, have the term limit, not the seats. And that is where the confusion is when we are trying to invent something that is very clear in Article 4, Delegate Section 8, Term of Office, Term Limit. The seats are for 3 years. The delegates...
90 seconds.
And thank you, Adriana.
You should control this. Okay.
No, he's the timekeeper and he noted that your time is up.
Thank you. We are wasting more time, ladies. Like I said, 6 year term, the bylaw said, and in
thank
no
you, Adriana.
Time,
thank
more
you.
Than six consecutive community.
Thank
years.
You. Thank you. Okay. I will simply add that I disagree with Adriana that this is only
Madam
about
Chair,
the 6 year.
The
no, Adriana, I did not interrupt you.
My God.
I will simply say that I disagree with you that it's only about people hitting the 6 year terms. If we pick option two, it is extremely conceivable that there will be people who will be elected to seat to 3 year terms as first year delegates. And then when we are to hold elections again in 2025.
Point of information, Madam Chair.
Let me finish, Adriana. When we hold elections again in 2025, we will be holding elections for seats that people have not yet vacated because the bylaws also say that you elect half of the delegates on an LSB, 3 staff members and 9 listener members in each year of the election cycle. And in 2025, there will be people who, as first year terms, if we give them 3 year terms, they will be sitting in seats that we will reelect, that not reelect, we will elect someone to vacate, to sit in that seat. And that's the problem with option two. Thank you very much. We're out of time on this item. we're out of time on this item, and so now we're going to a vote. Okay, so I think what Dingaman suggested was that option one, we would vote on, we'll just vote on.
I ask for a point of information, Madam Chair. You can keep muting me, but I keep asking for a point of information.
Okay, what is your point of information?
Madam Chair, we vote to exhaust the stack and was only me. But you give yourself the option to answer everything and you were not on the stack. Please, can you abide for the same rules that all of us? Because it's not fair.
Can we go to the vote?
Yeah, we're going to the
point
vote.
Point of order.
What's your point of order, Teresa?
I just really feel that Director Casanave is being argumentative toward the chair. I thought you did a good job of explaining, and I thought it was only fair that you could weigh in as an individual on this issue. So I thought, I just found that her arguments, arguing with the chair was out of order.
Agreed.
Disagree.
Thank you, Teresa. Okay. So what I failed to do was say that I recognize myself. I'm sorry. I'll try to remember to do that the next time. So I think what we should do is, go through and vote on these options and, one at a time. And, Nancy, we're going to have to do a roll call vote on each of them. And I think what's going to happen is, what we're going to do is we're going to, you know, what may well be the case is that we get a majority vote on one of them and we don't get a majority vote on the other two. And if that's the case, then we clearly have, passed one of the motions. If more than one of them passes, then that means that, too many directors are indifferent between the options, and then we'll have to, you know, sort of in a ranked choice voting kind of way, whittle it down to say, you know, one of them's off the table and get people to vote again and conduct this sort of manually because I don't have a way to do ranked choice voting balloting in real time here. So go ahead, Sagerton.
Yeah, I think there is a way to do this. If someone makes a motion, and I'll do so if requested, make a motion to adopt one of the options. Someone else moves to amend to adopt another option and another amendment to adopt the third option. Then we do 3-2-1 in reverse order, eliminating one or adopting one, which solves the problem. I think that's the Roberts Rules way to do it.
Oh, thank you. That's a fabulous solution. Okay, awesome. Sagerton, I recognize you.
Hey. Option number one. The option.
Okay, so, Sagerton's, connection was a little dubious there, but I believe he said he makes a motion that we adopt option number one.
Correct, Chair.
Thank you. Is there a second of, Sagerton's motion?
I'll second.
Thank you. I heard Darlene. Okay. Okay. Before I'm going to mute you, Sagerton, because there's background noise on your line. Before I continue, Nancy, I see your hand. Do you have a question?
Yes. Does it matter that I understand what's going on? What was the strategy here?
Yes, it does matter that you understand. Yes, and the strategy
I have to write it down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The strategy is that, Sagerton just made a motion to make, option one the main motion. And so what's going to happen now is somebody else is going to, make a motion to amend that it should be option two. And it will get seconded. Let me finish, Adriana. Okay. Someone will make a motion to amend that option two be the resolving clause, and it will be seconded. And then someone else will make a motion to amend to say option three be the resolving clause, and it will be seconded. And then we, go backwards, right?
We
vote on the amendment and it either passes or fails. And so that's basically a test of 2 versus 3. And then one of those will win, right? And then that's again, whichever one comes out of that, that's the one that goes up against option number one. And as Sagerton noted, that's the Robert's Rules way to kind of get through this. Okay.
Okay. Yep.
Got it. Okay. So I need some people to cooperate in terms of, go ahead, Adriana.
I move to amend to option number 2.
Got it. Is there a second to Adriana's motion to amend?
Vanessa,
Thank you, Vanessa. Okay. Is there someone?
Ryan.
Okay. Ali's here.
Go ahead, Ali, and then I'll recognize Sharon.
I move to amend to adopt option number 3.
Thank you, Ali. Sharon?
1 second.
Thank you. Okie doke, folks. So now we are, so technically speaking, at the moment, the only thing we can discuss is, let me back up and say, did somebody tell me already that we were out
option
of time on this item?
Option number 3. Option number
3. No, I know. Option number 3, but I'm doing a time check. Heather, did you tell me we were out of time on this already?
Yes, I did. Yes.
That's what I thought. Okay. So, so if we do additional discussion, folks, at this point, we would need a motion to extend, but,
extend for 10.
Well, but do we need it? I don't see if there's somebody who wants to discuss option 3. Then they should raise their hand and make a motion to amend. Otherwise, we'll go to a vote. I'm not seeing any hands. I'm not hearing anyone. All right. So perhaps we've discussed option 3 enough. And so the question becomes, and Nancy, let's go ahead and do a roll call vote here. And so this is the motion to amend to adopt option 3 over option 2, basically. Over the motion to amend to adopt option 2. So if you prefer option 3 to option 2, you vote yes. If you prefer 2 to 3, you vote no. Nancy, can you take a roll call vote?
Yeah.
Chair, point of order. Just a
go ahead.
Quick question. Okay. So in terms of process, suppose a majority of people, select 2 or 3. Then what happens to 1? Do we then go back and vote for number 1 anyway?
Yeah. So what happens is either 2 or 3 will come out as the, let me say it right. If we pass this motion to amend, that means 3 is preferred to 2. Okay. And it means that we're taking 2 off the table only.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Okay. And then we have the motion to amend vote that says, does 3 dominate 1? Or if we pick 2 in this vote, then it becomes 2 versus 1. So all the options are available to us here.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Yes, Adriana, okay. Go ahead.
Okay. You mean if vote number 3 have the majority become the main motion, that is what that means. And if it's a main motion and passes, we don't need to go anywhere else.
That's no, hang on, Adriana. That's not what it, that's not what it means. So this is a motion to amend the main motion. So, but I'm sorry. Let me step back. This is the motion. The third motion was a motion to amend the amendment. So that's why it's 2 versus 3. And so then it's 2 versus 3. And so it, you know, the motion to amend the amendment, either you prefer 3 or you prefer 2, or maybe you don't even care between those two.
What happened with 1 then?
Well, so then what will happen is once we have resolved this first, amendment of the amendment, now we have what will be remaining will be the amendment to the main motion, which is basically a vote between 1 and whichever wins of 2 and 3.
I believe that it's just if we don't pass 3 and 2, then 1 is the one. If not, it's not a way that we can go to number 1.
There is a way we can go to number 1. Trust me, Adriana.
Okay.
Trust me. There's a way we can get to number 1. Robert's rules wouldn't have set this up this way if we could not logically get to number 1. Okay. Okay. So just to be clear, everyone, vote yes if you prefer option 3 over 2. Vote no if you prefer option 2 over 3. And if you're indifferent, it doesn't matter how you vote. Okay. So
Lisa
it's,
Allen.
Yeah, go ahead.
Teresa, how do you vote?
I'm sorry. Please forgive me, Chair. Point of order. Could you repeat the voting instruction again?
Yeah. Vote yes if option 3, if you prefer option 3 to option 2. So the mix of terms to 3-year terms. Vote no if you prefer option 2, all 3-year terms to the mix of terms. And if you're indifferent, you could abstain, you could pick either one, coin flip.
Okay, okay, thank you.
Yep. Okay. Go ahead, Nancy.
Alan says no.
Alan, no. Kasanev? Adriana Kasanev?
No.
No. Kasanev says no. James Dingman?
We're voting on option 3, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Dingman says yes. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
No.
Dixon Briggs says no. Red Dodsworth?
No.
Dodsworth says no. William Foster?
Excuse me, I can hardly hear you speaking.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so did you get Bill Foster's vote, Nancy?
Foster? No, I didn't get William Foster.
Could you repeat it, Bill?
Abstain.
Foster abstains.
Yep.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Sue Goodwin.
Abstain.
Goodwin abstains. Heather Gray.
No.
Gray, no. Donna Grimes.
No.
Grimes, no. Velia Jones. You're muted. I'll come back to you.
Oh, Velia left the meeting. I'm sorry.
Oh, she did. Okay.
Yes, sorry.
Alexa.
No.
Alexa votes no. Marianne Martinez.
No.
Martinez votes no. James McFadden.
Abstain.
McFadden abstains. Darlene Pagano.
No.
Pagano votes no. Sean Rhodes.
Yes.
Rhodes votes yes. James Sagerton.
No.
Sagerton votes no. Sharon Salam.
Abstain.
Salam abstains. Aki Tanaka?
No.
Tanaka votes no. Elizabeth Von Gunten?
No.
Von Gunten votes no. Egberto Willis is not there. Okay, we have 2 yes, 12 no. Chair, do you wish to vote?
I think I'll abstain.
Chair abstains. Motion fails.
Okay. Yep. So the motion, to amend by substituting option 3 for option 2 failed. So now we're, rolling back. We're at the motion to amend to replace option 1 with option 2. And so, and again, the idea here is this is the motion to amend the main motion to substitute option two. Everyone gets a 3-year term. For option one, everyone gets a 2-year term.
And will you state the what each vote means?
Yes. And so here, if you vote yes, that means you prefer everyone gets 3-year terms over everyone gets 2-year terms. If you vote no, that means you prefer everyone gets 2-year terms over everyone gets 3-year terms. And if and you can abstain, and that means you don't basically have a preference between the two.
Chair, point of information, please.
Yeah, go ahead.
Could you just state it in terms of if you vote yes, what it means towards option one or option
two? Correct. That's a much better, that's a much better way to say it. Thank you. I'm sorry. If you vote yes, that means you prefer option two. Everybody gets 3-year terms. If you vote no, that means you prefer option one. Everybody gets 2-year terms. And if you abstain, that means you're indifferent.
Point of information.
Sure, go ahead.
Option two would require that we change the bylaws, correct?
No.
Yes, it does in the following sense. The bylaws say that we have a 3-year election cycle and we vote in years 1 and 2 and don't vote in year 3. And that's the source of the 3-year terms, right? That you have a 3-year cycle. What will happen if we vote option 2 in is that we will create a future problem, which is...
Oh, my God.
Adriana, you are unmuted.
Thank you. If we will have a problem in 2 years when there are people who are sitting in seats and we go ahead and elect people to those seats, even though those people have another year on their term, unless we change the bylaws in between now and then to say, because the PNB messed up in 2022 and didn't hold the elections to 2023, we have to henceforth either change the bylaws so that we vote in years 1 and 3, or we have to do the same kind of folder roll that we're going through right now, which is to determine how long the terms will be for the people who run in 2025. So you kick the can down the road in terms of, Article 4, Section 3 issues.
Point of information, Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Adriana.
We are having, you are talking about option one. Well, option one required anyway that you change the bylaw, because the bylaw said that you ran for 3 years. If you don't want, if you say, wait, Madam Chair, you can try to explain all that you want, but it's not fair what you are saying. If you vote for 2 years, when you already have the people send the ballot, the people know that the bylaw said that you ran for a 3-year, it means that you need to change the bylaws.
Madam
Chair. If you vote for number two, you don't need to do anything. You let the people run for 3 years when they limit. They go to the 6-year term limit, they step down, and they are replaced. You don't need to change any bylaws for that.
I respectfully disagree, Adriana, and I've already explained. Yeah. Excuse me. Hang on, Sagerton. I'm going to mute you because I'm hearing background noise. I respectfully disagree, Adriana, and here's why. Because you have not given any explanation for how option two doesn't create a future problem, because there will be people who will be still sitting in seats that we will put up, we will be electing people to fill, even though they have another year left on their term. It doesn't have anything to do with 6-year terms necessarily. It could be people who are, all people who are running for a first term in the 2023 elections that this involves. You have not responded to that point at all. What option one does, we do not require a bylaws amendment because this is a one-time waiver, if you will, that everybody runs for two-year terms. And then as soon as this election is over, we revert exactly back to the bylaws as currently written. The reason why people need or why option one says two-year terms is because if you think about it this way, the people who served their first term beginning in 2019, their terms ended in 2022, except that we were unable to hold elections. And we use the, I think it's the Section 5 part to say, because we didn't, weren't able to hold elections, we're extending these people for another year. And, so they've already begun to serve the first year of their second term. It doesn't make sense to, you claim that option two solves everything, but it does not solve everything, right? And it's not the only option that says, it requires a bylaws amendment down the road or you keep having the same problem. Option one does not. We're out of time for debate. We're now voting. And
waiver,
once again,
the waiver solved it. They changed the bylaws.
The member is out of order. The member has not been recognized. Thank you. Okay. We're voting. Nancy's going to call the roll call. I am going to remind people one last time. Vote yes here. If you prefer option two, three-year terms, that is. Vote no here. If you prefer option one, two-year terms. Abstain if you're indifferent. Go ahead, Nancy.
Okay. Teresa Allen?
Option two, no.
Allen votes no. Adriana Casaneve?
Pass.
Casaneve passes. James Dingman?
No.
Dingman votes no. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
Yes.
Dixon Briggs votes yes. Fred Dodsworth?
No, thank you.
Dodsworth votes no. William Foster?
No.
Foster votes no. Sue Goodwin?
Abstain.
Goodwin abstains. Heather Gray?
No.
Gray votes no. Donna Grimes?
No.
Grimes votes no. Avelia Jones is left, right? Still gone. Ali Lexa?
No.
Lexa votes no. Marianne Martinez?
Yes.
Martinez votes yes. James McFadden?
Abstain.
McFadden abstains. Darlene Pagano?
No.
Pagano votes no. Sean Rhodes?
No.
Rhodes votes no. James Sagerton?
No.
Sagerton votes no. Sharon Salon?
I'm voting yes for number one.
That means no for number two. Right? You vote no.
Oh. So,
to vote yes for number one, you have to vote no for number two.
Oh, no. Okay.
Salon votes no. Oops. Aki Tanaka?
I'm voting yes.
Tanaka votes yes. Elizabeth Von Gunten?
No.
Von Gunten votes no. Egberto Willis is not here. Let's see if we got everybody.
I vote yes.
Oh, yes.
I passed, remember? Oh, I voted yes.
Yes, that's right. No, it's supposed to turn yellow on me, and it didn't. Sorry. You vote. Casane votes yes. All right. Thank you. There you go. 3 yes, 12 no, 2 abstentions. Wait a minute now. That didn't work. 4 yes, 12 no, 2 abstentions. Chair, do you wish to vote?
I will vote no.
Chair votes no.
Okay.
4 yes, 13 no, 2 abstentions.
So this amendment fails. And so now the main motion is the option one, basically. And so we now need to vote on the main motion. Well, let me see. Are there any objections to the main motion?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay. So go, okay. We'll go ahead and vote then, Nancy.
All right.
And again, folks, now vote yes if you prefer option one, and vote no.
You're stupid.
No, no, I can't say that. Just that if you don't approve of option one, basically, and abstain. I'm not sure how you can be indifferent between the two, but maybe abstain doesn't mean indifferent. It just means you don't choose to vote on this vote. So.
Point of information.
Yeah, go ahead, Fred.
If we vote no on option one, where are we?
Perhaps in deep doo-doo.
Okay, thank you. That's good. That works.
I mean, we're back to square one. So.
Yeah, we wasted several hours.
No.
We considered a different option.
All right. Perhaps there's another option. Correct. Okay. But let's see how the vote turns out. Go ahead, Nancy.
Teresa Allen.
This is for option number one?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Allen says yes.
Allen votes yes. Adriana Casanave.
Say no.
Casanave votes no. James Dingman.
Yes.
Dingman votes yes. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
No.
Dixon Briggs votes no. Fred Dodsworth?
Yes, please.
Dodsworth votes yes. William Foster?
Yes.
Foster votes yes. Sue Goodwin?
Abstain.
Goodwin abstains. Heather Gray?
Yes.
Gray votes yes. Donna Grimes?
Yes.
Grimes votes yes. Alvalia Jones is not here. Ali Lexa?
Yes.
Lexa votes yes. Marianne Martinez?
No.
Martinez votes no. James McFadden?
Abstain.
McFadden abstains. Darlene Pagano?
Yes.
Pagano votes yes. Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Yes.
Rhodes votes yes. Thank you. James Sagerton. I didn't hear you, James. Yes. Pass?
No, yes. James. James, yes. Say a couple of words. Your microphone always picks up after a few words. So say.
Yes, Y-E-S.
Thank you. That helped. Sagerton votes yes. Sharon Salam?
Yes.
Salam votes yes. Aki Tanaka?
Yes.
Tanaka votes yes. Elizabeth Van Gunten?
Yes.
Van Gunten votes yes. Egberto Willis is not here. Why is that? Oh. I'm sorry. My thing didn't. Let me populate this. Hang on.
that's wrong there. One second. Okay, 13 yes, 3 no, 2 abstentions. Chair, do you wish to vote?
I'll vote yes.
We avoid the doo-doo.
Indeed. Indeed. All right. Option 1 passes as the main motion. That means we get to move on to the next item, which is a motion on community advisory boards. This comes from the Strategic Planning Committee. Go ahead. No, go ahead, Nancy.
Teresa, how will this information be conveyed to the candidates?
And
the voters.
Yeah. So how it will get conveyed to the voters is we will post it on the elections.pacifica.org website. We'll post it on, in principle, the station websites, right? And I'll send a copy of the motion to Renee, the National Election Supervisor, probably in the morning, and ask her to inform the candidates, because she has a mailing list that has all the candidates. And, she knew that we were taking this vote this evening, that we were going to make this decision about, you know, how to deal with what's basically an inconsistency across the bylaw sections and our choices to, how to best resolve that inconsistency given that we weren't able to hold elections in 2022. And she will, communicate that, you know, through, you know, all the means that she has. And perhaps, one of the email reminders that goes out to people will also make it clear, to people that these are 2-year terms. Although in principle, the fact that, everyone gets the same length of term regardless, it means that it does not affect how you would decide to vote for people, right? That, you know, there's no, I should rank this person higher than that person because, you know, some people get 3-year terms and some people get 2-year terms. So it does not affect how voters, would rate their preferences.
Madam Chair?
Go ahead, Adriana.
How you will inform the membership, the voters?
I just said
the
that.
National, no.
I just said that.
You said that will be the website. And the NES that was saying that the bylaws are 3 years, she can inform the candidates how the voters,
perhaps
how
you
the
missed,
members will be on her announcements.
Yeah, perhaps you missed that I said that the NES has been sending out emails to the membership about the upcoming voting and that you should look for your ballot, et cetera. And she could possibly make it be one of those emails. One of those email blasts. So,
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I'm not understanding a point. What happened with the people that don't have any mail? The people that receive a ballot.
All right.
How? How we inform all those people?
Go ahead, Dingman.
Yeah. I mean, I could engage in colloquy about how I disagree with Adriana and use it as an excuse the desire to intervene. I have not done that. So please could we move on? We are well aware of how difficult this issue is for people, but a lot of us have restrained from intervening in this colloquy, which basically has been allowed to go on unfettered for about an hour now. So, you know, please, two can enter that fray if they want to. And I refrain from that. Please, Madam Chair, let's move on to the next subject. Thank you.
Absolutely. So the next motion is a motion from the on community advisory boards from the Strategic Planning Committee. The motion is in the appendix. This is a 10-minute item, Heather. Let me read the motion from the Strategic Planning Committee. Here it is. Whereas the Pacifica National Board has resolved to pursue actively the community service grants and other programs offered by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting to support public and community broadcasting throughout the United States. One of the requirements for successfully completing the application process is to prove that community advisory boards are set up and functioning with proof of their existence. The CPB requires that the recipient annually certify their compliance with the HAB requirements. This certification is part of CPB's required CSG agreement and certification of eligibility. Be it resolved that all local station boards are required to give an update in writing as to the status of the community advisory boards at each station, KPFA, KPFT, WBAI, WPFW, and KPFK, by the next regularly scheduled meeting of the PNB. This report should include written confirmation of the following facts. A, does a community advisory board exist? B, what is its composition? C, how was it formed? D, how many times has it met during the last year? E, does it meet at regular intervals annually? F, does its members regularly attend its meetings? Do its members regularly attend its meetings? G, is its composition reasonably representative of the diverse needs and interests of the community served by such station? H, has it reviewed the programming goals established by the station, the service provided by the station, and the significant policy decisions rendered by the station? Do such reports exist in writing? I, is there proof of the announcement of CAB meetings to the public via saved MP3s, engineer logs, website postings, and other forms of verification? J, has the CAB advised the governing body of the station with respect to whether the programming and other policies of the station are meeting the specialized educational and cultural needs of the community served by the station? K, has the CAB made in written and oral form any recommendations as it considers appropriate to meet such needs? L, what rules do the CABs practice regarding absences, latenesses, and removing members who do not participate? That's the motion. It's from a committee, so it does not require a second discussion. I see Vanessa's hand and Adriana's. Go ahead, Vanessa.
I would like to propose a very slight amendment, which is to ask the one question I did not hear was, when was it formed?
Okay, so hang on one second. How about this? C out of that list of questions was, how was it formed? So how about if we modify it to, when and how was it formed?
Perfect.
Is that your suggested amendment?
Yep.
All right.
Thank you.
Is there a second for Vanessa's amendment? Thank you, Sharon. Okay.
I second that.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you. Okay. So we have to talk about only the amendment, here and now. Is there discussion to Vanessa's amendment? I mean, I see hands, but I'm not asking you to put your hand down, but,
can I call the question on that?
Or can I just go to, let me just quickly see by voice, is there anyone who would like to discuss this amendment? Hearing no one, are there any objections to this amendment? Hearing none, we'll consider the motion amended. Okay, now we're back to discussing the motion as now amended. Beth, you're next.
Thank you. I sit on the Strategic Planning Committee, and in principle, I support this motion. And that's actually what happened at the committee. In principle, we supported it, but there was no wording available for us to review or approve. And so technically, this should be a motion for Mr. Dingaman. I would like to put forward a minor amendment. I just emailed it to everyone. Rewording the resolving clause, and I can read that now. The original reads, be it resolved that all local station boards are required to give an update in writing as to the status of the community advisory boards at each station, KPFA, KPFT, PAI, PFW, KPFK, by the next regularly scheduled meeting of the PNB, this report should include the written confirmation of the following facts. And I move to replace that with the following. Therefore, be it resolved that the community advisory boards of each of the five Pacifica stations shall, at the September 7, 2023 PNB meeting, report in writing on their current status to include the following elements. And it would leave the list of elements unchanged. And I do this first because this one is more precise. What?
He said 90 seconds, but continue, Beth. I mean.
Thank you. I put this forward because the proposed amendment is more concise, more specific, and specifically because it removes the LSBs as intermediaries and lets us hear directly from the CABs. And given the lay of the political land, I think it might let us do an end run around controversies or opposition. I think the PNB has a right to hear directly from the CABs, and it'll be simpler if we just request reports directly from them. One of the people, one of the CAB chairs and one of the active members who helped to stand up the CAB council attended the strategic planning meeting where all this came forth, and he's aware of this and is alerting the rest of the CAB. The various CABs to it. So they'll be prepared for this. But if we, if I'm not mistaken, most of the LSBs won't have met yet by the time we're requesting this report. So rather than leave them as intermediaries, I think it's simpler if we just make the request directly to the CABs themselves. Thank you.
All right. Is there a hang on? Is there a second? Hang on. Is there a second? Oh, Adriana seconded Beth's motion. Thank you. A motion to amend. Okay. So now, folks, we're strictly speaking discussing Beth's motion to amend, not the main motion yet. So this is about substituting, basically, and I'm paraphrasing heavily here, but basically substituting, instead of having the LSBs report by time of the September 7th meeting, it's having the CABs report by the time of the September 7th meeting. Sharon, go ahead.
My question is why, is this tied to the CAB in some kind of way, or why would the CAB be involved?
The idea is that we need to have functioning CABs in order to get CPB funding. I think the gist of the motion is to find out how well we're doing in terms of having functioning CABs, right? For the PNB to have a solid understanding of that. And for the CABs to tell us directly, as opposed to having it filtered through the LSBs.
Madam Chair.
And indeed, I believe, in Dingaman's motion, it says something about the governing body. And then the question becomes, who's the governing body? Is it the PNB or in fact, do LSBs have governing body powers when it comes to what CABs say?
Madam Chair.
But hang on. I mean, I'd recognize Sharon, and she asked the question. Sharon, did I answer your question?
Well, in a way, because I, from what I understand you're saying is that, for the stations to move forward positively, possibly financially, the CAB needs to show, you need to show something that the CAB is doing until you are putting this in that.
Correct. That is the flavor of this motion.
Madam Chair.
And Beth's motion to amend, I think, is having it come directly to the PNB instead of through the LSBs.
Julie, I'm sorry, this is Heather. The time is up on this item.
Yeah, I was worried about this.
Motion to accept.
Donna, for how second? Long?
Just for just a minute, 2 minutes. A minute.
No. 2 minutes. Yeah. Let's call it two, because.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Second. Yeah, thank you.
I recognize. Nice. Yeah, I remember.
Hang on, folks.
We've got five counts up.
No, I understand that, the motion that's on the floor is a motion to extend for 2 minutes. Are there any objections, which has been seconded? Are there any objections to the motion to extend for 2 minutes?
Yes, I object. Is that on this discussion of this motion?
Can you silence James?
I did already. I'm sorry. Sagerton, I have to keep muting you because there's background noise on your line and it does mess it up for the feed. Okay. Folks, we need to decide what we're doing here. There are, excuse me, I have not recognized any other member to speak yet. I was just simply about to note that Fred was right that there are five people whose hands are up and we have 2 minutes. And unless people restrict themselves to something like 20 seconds to speak, we're not going to get through. And now it's six people. So, that would be 20 seconds a person, to get through 2 minutes. So, and we have not voted on the motion to extend for 2 minutes yet. So, I said, were there any objections? And Dingaman objected. And so what I would like to do is instead of having to go to a voice or a roll call vote on this, could I get a substitute motion that is from someone?
Hold on. Okay,
I'd like to do that, the substitute motion.
Hold on. That's made. And I had an opportunity to argue it.
Yeah.
We're talking about the duration of the extension, not the motion itself.
This is not exactly. This is about how long we're going to talk about this. So, Sharon, I recognize you.
Yes. Can we just move to extend to do this stack with 6 minutes?
We could probably do that. 6 minutes?
Yes.
Is that your motion?
6 minutes to exhaust the stack.
Okay. Yeah.
Second, 9 minutes if you want 13, if you want 90 seconds apiece.
I want as little time as possible.
Yeah, Sharon wants a minute per and 6 minutes for the six people who are on the stack. So is there a second to Sharon's motion?
Second.
Thank you, Donna Grimes. Okay. So I'm going to, are there any objections to Sharon's motion? Hearing none. Now I'm going through the stack now. It's Darlene, then Dingaman, then Adriana, then Donna, then Beth, then Sagerton. Go ahead, Darlene.
I'm sorry, Julie. Sorry, it's extended for 6 minutes. Is that correct?
6 minutes. So, and Fred, 1 minute each. Okay. Go ahead, Darlene.
Okay. Sorry, but I've never done this before. I want to modify Beth's motion. Where do I do that? Now?
Right now. Yeah.
I wish to modify this motion to give the CAPS 30 days to get this work done. These are volunteers of volunteers. So just because we're having a meeting on September, whatever, doesn't mean 7th. Everybody else has to, get their work done to be at our pleasure. So let's give the CAPS 30 days for heaven's sakes. That's my addition or modification. And first of all, I would ask Beth, could you live with that? Could we just
I could live with that.
Thank you, Beth.
The original idea was to have them report when all the other committees routinely report, but I'm not attached to that. So 30 days, I don't have a problem with.
We are 16 seconds.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so Darlene put a motion to amend on the floor. Jim, you're next on the stack. Will you second that?
No, I don't. I oppose it completely, and I haven't had an opportunity even to motivate this motion, which was my own damn.
Okay. Hang on. We can't discuss Darlene's motion. Thank you, Sharon. until we have a second. Now Sharon has seconded it. Okay, Dingaman, it's your turn. Speak.
All right. This, because first of all, we're talking about, this is a no-brainer. Every local station board has great power in appointing the security advisory boards. We've lost 1.6, we got $1.6 million from the CIA grants as of 1993. So here is a pretty no-brainer list that the LSB should know about. Does it exist? What's its composition? MP3s and logs are what the Inspector General of the CPB wants when they want to verify this. I was the chair of a community advisory board. I think there's only one or two other people in this board who actually did that. So to allow it to let the CABS report, it's responsibly LSB's to make sure this is going on. And I disagree with that completely because, you know, the LSB's are the ones responsible in some cases for even the existence of some of these CABS. So I think that getting them off the hook is...
Your 60 seconds is up.
...not in any of the issues related to the Community Advisory Board requirements in the CB, which people should read.
Thanks. Adriana, you're next.
Yes, Madam Chair. Basically, what Jim said is absolutely right. One of the KPFA CAB obviously said, and we have the emails there, saying that they were suspended, that they didn't need to have a CAB, and the vote is wrong. We cannot go against to the same. I think that it's not terrible. The CAB are independent from the LSB. I think that is not anything wrong. The CABs are functioning in most of the station. They should report to the PMB directly. I don't think that there's any problem with that. They answer and depending if we need to reconsider or you need to tell them to do something different, but I think that it's not that strange to ask for them to give a report and then the PMB say know where we are standing. I think that this, that is what Jim is trying to do with his motion, and I believe that Beth too. But 30 days, I mean, we are already a year after. Thank you.
All right, Donna, you're next.
Yes, I think that the CAB should report directly. My concern is that, not concern, my issue is that in our station, we are just in the process of reestablishing. So there's not an existing to report by that date, even within 30 days. We are in the process of formulating that. So how would we handle that?
That's a good question. Well, I suppose the point is if we don't get a report from a particular station in their CAB, then that will be affirmation that they need to do more work and that we need to devote some resources, volunteer elbow grease to make sure that it happens, I'm guessing.
But it's happening. It's happening now. I mean, yeah. You know, we're taking in candidates and the whole process is in motion is what I'm saying. It's just that we will not be ready in 30 days. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, gotcha. Beth, you're up.
Thank you. First of all, everyone should have my original motion in your email at the top of the stack. I emailed it when we started talking, discussing this item. And then on the merits of the item, this isn't letting anyone off the hook. I see it more as removing a potential obstacle. And I would suggest that having been long involved in getting resurrecting the CAB at my own station, I would suggest that whoever at your local station is working on resurrecting a CAB, they should provide a report just on your progress to date. Where are you in that process? What have you gotten done and what needs to be to get done yet? And just so that we know where, this really is just a status report so that we know where we stand and possibly know how to help each other out. Thank you.
Sagerton, you're next.
Thank you, Chair. I want to suggest that since the list of things, items that in the motion are requested to be supplied, A through K or whatever it is, need to be supplied by the general managers in their report to the CPB that certifies that they have cabs that are doing those things. So I think we should add to the motion that the general managers should be involved in this, let the cabs be involved in it to the extent that they exist and can assist. But the general managers have to work with the cabs anyway to make up these reports certifying that we have, that they have a cab. So I'm going to suggest amending this to include that the general managers be involved.
I'm sorry. Did you just say that you want to amend it to say that the GMs are involved?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a sec? Understood. I just wanted to make sure you were, and Beth has now seconded that. Okay. I just wanted to make sure I heard you correctly. Because it's towards the end of a very long week for me. Thank you, Sagerton. Okay, so now we are, strictly speaking, just talking about Sagerton's motion to insert the GMs into the process, too.
Madam Chair.
Where at? Sorry, I'm cutting in.
Madam Chair, there is some point in...
No, hang on, Jim Dingaman, hang on. Nancy needs to know where in the motion inserting the GMs goes. And so, Beth's,
unwording.
All right.
Well, Beth said that all station boards, all LSBs, wait a minute, replace it with the following. Be it resolved that the cabs of each of the five stations shall, and then Darlene's would be, amendment would be within 30 days, report in writing on their current status to include the following elements. And so I would argue that Sagerton's amendment.
Madam Chair, there's.
Hang on, folks. I was just about to say, hang on. I was just about to insert it. Therefore, be it resolved that the CAB Community Advisory Board of each of the five Pacifica stations shall, or no, before shall, or the general manager shall, within 30 days, report in writing on their current status to the following elements.
All right, Madam Chair.
That speaks recognition.
Yeah, people, wait a minute. You can start talking, but it doesn't mean you've been recognized, right? So I understand that you want to do this, but I'm sure that we're approaching the 6 minutes and we've not, we're not going to get through this. So,
Julie, I want you, this is Heather. I want you to know, actually, we're at 9 minutes now.
Yeah. See, that's what I was worried about. Okay. Right. So we're already past time. So folks, we need a motion to extend.
I move to extend by 5 minutes.
By 5 minutes, Beth? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, unless you want more. You want more?
No, not really. Thank you. Okay. Is there a second to Beth's motion to extend for 5?
Donna seconds.
Donna, thank you. Okay. So we've got 5 minutes now, Heather. And I still have 4 people on the stack, and we've got,
point of information.
Yeah.
My hand keeps getting put down. I followed Sagerton. I had something that I wanted to address regarding Sagerton's motion and now Beth's motion.
Okay.
Well, look, I'm point of information before
I
you.
I do want to address Sagerton's motion.
So, okay. Again, please stop talking, everyone. I didn't put anybody's hand down. I apologize. I look away from the screen at times, because I stare at a screen all day long. And when I look away, I didn't notice that your hand was up and that you disappeared from the list. I'm so sorry, Fred. Right now, who I have on the stack is Adriana, Beth, and Fred. Those are the only people I have on the stack. Right. If other people would like to speak too, I can put you on the stack. Dingaman's been trying to,
I want to talk about the statute. You ignoring the statute. The statute explicitly says.
Jim, I have not yet. I know, Jim, I haven't recognized you. We'll get to everything. The whole point of Robert's rules is to have order in a meeting.
Yeah, I know. And I've asked you now for 10 minutes to be recognized to introduce this issue of the statute, which is being ignored.
Jim, it's not more important than the amendment that is on the floor. You will get a turn to speak.
No, the amendment is illegal because the amendment ignores the statute of the federal government that deals with the community advisory board. That's what I'm trying to raise. People should read it. It says specifically that the board is determined by the governing body of the station. So excluding the LSB is a mistake. It is illegal according to the statute of the government that the community advisory board in the Communications Act is set up. So read the addendum. You cannot exclude the LSB from this decision-making process. It's in the statute itself.
Can you tell me where in, I mean, there's like a whole page worth of stuff.
B. On the addendum B, the second sentence there, the board may also be delegated any other responsibilities as determined by the governing body of the station. The board shall advise the governing body of the station with respect to whether the so governing body is emphasized several times in the statute itself. So to take the LSB out of that process is not in congruence with the statute itself. Okay? That's my point.
Nancy with a point of information.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Okay. Is this amendment talking about the report of the CABs to the LSBs on their findings, or is this about the CABs reporting on their status to the PNB or to, now, does it matter? Does violate, does the CABs reporting on their status, not on what they found, which they would report to the LSBs, does the CABs reporting on their status to the PNB violate that statute? That's my.
Yeah, that's a good question. Okay. So one of the things I think, folks, is that I think we thought that this was, I put this on here as a 10-minute item because I thought it was, there was some sort of no-brainer aspects to it. And it turns out that, this is more complicated than everyone thought. I mean, one of the things, you know, here's the thing that's always been, I mean, really, this is honestly, I'm going to cut to the chase here. Honestly, the discussion that we're having right now is really about exactly the thing that the CPB says about Pacifica, which is that we're overgoverned. Okay. So now let me explain what I mean by that. If you look at, our bylaws and you look at all the things that are listed as specific powers and duties of an LSB, the item that comes closest to what we're talking about here is item G. It says to work with station management to ensure that station programming fulfills the purposes of the foundation and is responsive to the diverse needs of the listeners, parentheses, demographic, end parentheses, and communities, parentheses, geographic, end of parentheses, served by the station, and that station policies and procedures for making programming decisions and for program evaluation are working in a fair, collaborative, and respectful manner to provide quality programming. If you ask me, that is not the description of what the LSBs typically do. That is more like the description of what the CPB expects out of a CAB, where what the problem in Pacifica has always been that there's this blurring of responsibilities and duties between CABs and LSBs. And so I actually somewhat beg to differ with Dingaman that that it's clear that the governing body of the station is the LSB. Okay. LSBs are given, it says to work with station management to ensure, but how many LSBs are really doing exactly that? Right. And that's the, I think this is a conundrum, folks. And this is, you know, one of the reasons why CPB says we're overgoverned, that we basically have, you know, too much governance for what we really need. What we really need are, CABs, functioning CABs, And the question is, who's the governing body? So, and I don't know the answer to that, basically. Not at 11:26. Okay, I'm sorry. So we've still got a stack.
I must apologize. We're way over. We're at 6 minutes now. 6 minutes and 30 seconds.
I'm quite sure of that. So we still have a stack, which is Adriana, Beth, Fred, Marianne, and Dingman.
I object. I was before Adriana. It was after Sagerton, and my hand keeps getting pushed down, and I don't know how it is, and I'm not blaming you.
Yeah, understood. Let me then recognize Fred, and hopefully Fred, you will start off with a motion to extend.
I move that we extend for 5 minutes.
Is there a second to Fred's motion?
Beth, second.
Thank you. Any objections to the motion to extend for 5? Hearing none. Go ahead, Fred.
Okay. The thing that Sagerton said was that we should work with the station managers. And we've got a program here now where they're supposed to be reporting to this PNB about what they're doing and how this is all working. And I have a question, because we did this exact same thing back in July 20th when we passed the motion that the station managers would report to the PNB by August 15th about the programs that are subscribed to and what revenues are generated by them on an ongoing basis, and put that against the expenses of the premiums that we were giving away. Have we gotten that, or is this just another thing that we're going to overlook and then now we're going to add the cabs to it as well? So have we any information about from the GMs about subscribers in the last 3 months? No, we don't. I know.
Yeah. Well, I know that Stephanie is asking the units for that. I don't know if Stephanie wants to answer as to whether she has that information. Go ahead.
I have received a very detailed report from KPFA. I received somewhat sporadic reports from WBAI and from KPFK, and also just some limited reports from KPFT.
That makes me feel very good. Now we'll support the GEM thing.
Now, regarding this, and again, this may not be my place to speak, but we're not getting funding from CPB as of yet. So this is really just a precursor to make sure that we're on track in case we get funding from CPB. So why can I not just put these questions, call the cab directors or the people that are in charge of the cabs, talk to them on the phone, ask them these questions, answer the questions. If they don't have a cab or the cab is being formed, I can just reply, the cabs are still being formed, and then submit that.
What a brilliant idea.
We are not in a place that we have to make detailed reports to CPB regarding our cabs because we're not getting CPB funding. And on the application, I had to justify why we have LSBs, because they're only interested in cabs. So I had to let them know why we have the structure that we have, and you know, who does what. And I view cabs as sort of a feeding ground into the LSBs. That's where we find our volunteers. That's where we let them know who we are. If they're interested, they're active, they like it, they can then run for a position on the LSB, and then that can feed right into the PNB. So unless I'm not understanding this, I don't think this needs to be as complicated as this is. This literally is me finding out who the cab people are and giving them a phone call.
I would like to move that as a motion, that we transfer this to Stephanie and let Stephanie report back to us next month.
All right, this is ridiculous.
Okay, so hang on, Dingman. You're on the stack, but I have Adriana and Beth before you. So, Adriana, go ahead.
A motion on the floor.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm trying to get us out of this quagmire here.
You cannot jump the stack, Madam Chair, to make a motion. after the executive director talked. Come on.
He didn't, I'm sorry, Adriana, he did not jump the stack.
Yes.
No, Adriana, okay. He did not jump the stack. I've been watching. His hand was up. It went down. Even though he says he didn't put it down, right? There are gremlins. It's happened a couple of meetings now. So, I recognize Fred. Is there a second to Fred's motion to amend?
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Yeah, go ahead, Nancy.
I think you can only have an amendment of an amendment. I don't think you can have another amendment of an amendment.
You're right.
I don't think you can deal with a motion. I don't think you can introduce another motion until you finish the motion on that.
That is correct. You're absolutely right. So the first thing we have to do is we have to deal with, Darlene's amendment, which was basically to change. Wait a minute. What was the
chair?
Most
Beth acceded to my suggestion. We didn't have.
Yeah, no, sorry. That's beside. Oh. I appreciate what you're suggesting there, Darlene. But once it was on the floor, the body owns it, not Beth. So it's okay. Not up to Beth to decide for the whole PMB, with all due respect. So we are. So what we
I
have to do
wording.
Is. What we have to do is, go to the most recent motion to amend, and the most recent motion to amend was Darlene's that says instead of doing it by September 7th, our next PMB meeting, they have 30 days to get this done. So, are there any objections to Darlene's motion to change it
yes.
to 30 days?
Oh, yes.
No.
Okay. There are objections.
Chair, point of order.
Yeah, go ahead, Sean.
Technically, Darlene was not the last amendment. It was Sagerton who added that we include the GM in here. That was the last amendment.
Oh, Lord. So
correct.
There's the problem because Sagerton's amendment was then by Robert's rules out of order because the original motion is this. No, hang on. The original motion is the Strategic Planning Committee. Then came Beth's motion to amend. Then came Darlene's. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't write down Sagerton's, which is why I didn't just now cite that one. So I was working backwards, skipping over the fact that I failed to write down Sagerton's, but maybe I failed to write it down because Robert's rules is in my head and I knew that and appreciate Nancy for reminding me.
Point of personal privilege, Chair.
Yeah, go ahead, Darlene.
Beth, you said that you sent your motion out to everyone. I know I'm seeing in the chat a couple people. We're not getting it, or at least, so could you check on that before we get to vote on your motion? Thanks.
I have it from Nancy, so, I'm pasting it in the chat now.
And
there
Julie, the time is up. I don't know how we're going to deal with this, but.
Yeah. What you're going to do to deal with this is you're going to find somebody else who is a much better chair. I feel certain that you will. Okay. Again, we're on. Darlene's motion to amend, and we've got to, unless somebody puts on a motion to like just postpone the whole thing, we have to like work through this, right? So Darlene's motion would have added.
Am I not near the top of the stack now? I just sent out wording that would incorporate.
I'm sorry.
At what point do we get to address any of these motions on the merits? My hand has been up to do that for an extended time now. I've offered, I've just emailed.
You're number two, Beth. You're number two.
Yeah.
That would incorporate both of
these motions. I'm sorry. The more people just interrupt and talk, the more time we waste on some of these things. Yes, Beth, you are number two for takeoff. Your hand has been there. It's still there because we don't seem to be able to get to, we cannot put another motion on the table. We have got to start dispensing with the motions, right? And so we are on Darlene's, which was to change the September 30th to give them 30 days. Okay. Are there any objections to Darlene's amendment to change the date certain of September 7th to say 30 days?
Yes.
Are there objections other than Adriana's objection? I'm trying to see if I can avoid having to go to a roll call vote, which takes time. I don't hear any objections other than Adriana's. So we will note that Darlene's motion to amend passed with an objection from Adriana. And so it changes shall the part of Beth's motion that says at the September 7th, 2023 PMB meeting, it changes it to within 30 days. Okay, that's now the amended motion. Okay, so now we're at Beth's motion to amend as amended by Darlene's motion. And now we are I need a motion to extend discussion if we're going to keep discussing this. I mean, a motion to extend time if we're going to keep discussing this. The people who are on the stack are Adriana, then Beth, then Jim Dingaman. And Nancy's hand is up. Can I get it?
Let me take it.
Okay. Beth. Go ahead, Beth. What was that?
Beth moves to extend by 5.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Are there any objections to the motion to extend for 5 minutes? Hearing none. Okay. Adriana, then Beth, then Dingaman. Adriana.
Yes, Madam Chair. I think that Dingman, really, Jim is playing very clearly. The caps are not related and have nothing to do with governance. We cannot put the cap under asking the general manager or anything else. Jim is playing it very clearly. The cap by itself, when we have it, we are complicating this. The only thing that we know that we want the information and then decide from there. No, take 30 days. We need to know where we are standing. That's the only thing. We don't need to keep adding people to let us know why we cannot receive, like originally was said, cap, a specific way to work. The PMB need to know where we are. That's the only thing that is needed. Then we will discuss later on if we want to do something or not. Jim explained it very clearly. We don't need to redefine anything and keep asking people what they think. We want a specific know where we are standing in every station. KPFT have a cap working since ever. And the reports are always in every LSP meeting and doesn't need to be accepted. The cap is independent. Thank you.
Beth.
Thank you. Yes, I'm rather than replace the cabs with GMs as the reporting parties, I propose the following wording for Sagerton's amendment.
Wait.
Sagerton's amendment is not on the, I'm sorry, Sagerton's amendment is not on the floor. I want to be clear about that. It's your motion.
So what's on the floor?
Your motion as amended by Darlene's amendment, changing September 7th to within 30 days. That's what's on the floor, motion.
I thought that passed with only Adriana's objection. Didn't it?
Yes.
What passed was Darlene's amendment to your amendment.
Amendment.
Now we're on your amendment as amended by Darlene's amendment, period. Jim Sagerton's amendment
I'm doing my best to try to follow what you're saying. I thought that Darlene's amendment was to require reporting within 30 days, and I don't have a problem with that, and I thought it passed with only Adriana's objection. Did I get that right?
Yes, I just said that.
Then doesn't that move us back to Sagerton's amendment to include the GMs in the process?
No, I think Sagerton's amendment came after Darlene's.
What's Darlene's amendment?
This within 30 days instead of September 7th.
I thought that's what just passed with no objection other than Adriana's.
You're wrong, Beth.
I will email it around and put it in the chat. I believe what it says is, therefore, be it resolved that the community advisory boards of each of the five Pacifica stations shall within 30 days report to the PNB in writing on their current status to include the following elements.
Okay, let me know when we get to addressing Sagerton's amendment, because I want to propose wording for that.
Sagerton's amendment is not on the floor. I can't be any more clear than that.
Well, that's why I say, please put me on the stack to address that issue when we get that far. Forgive me for having thought that we had.
We're now at 3 minutes.
Yeah. So what we're voting on, or what we're about to consider, is Beth's motion to amend the main motion as amended by Darlene's amendment.
And now Jim can make his motion.
Jim could make his motion now, because we can't have more than two amendments, and now we're down to one.
Well, I'll do that if you'll accept that, Chair.
At this point, I just want to eat cookies and go to bed. But okay. Fine, go ahead, Sagerton.
And Julie, I must apologize. The 5 minutes is up, so we need to have another extension.
We need another extension.
Another 5 minutes?
If there's a motion to extend for five, is there a second?
Second, Beth.
Thank you, Beth. Okay. Are there any objections to the motion to extend for five? Hearing none. We have 5 more minutes. Go ahead, Sagerton.
DMs, where it says the cabs will report. The cabs and the GMs will report, because they have to work together anyway to certify to the CPB that they're what they're doing and that they exist. So it's a perfect match. It's practice for what we have to do when we get CPB.
Did you catch that, Nancy?
The cabs and the GM, is that what it said? Or
the GMs, yes.
I'm sorry, what was that, Jim?
The cabs and the GMs.
The cabs
and the GMs. Right.
Okay,
so now, folks, strictly speaking, the only thing we're discussing is not the main motion, but Sagerton's amendment.
Yeah, I have something to say.
Go ahead, Dingman.
All right, first of all, the whole purpose of this is basically get these cabs in gear and get them working. And, who knows what we're going to have happen with the CPB. Most likely we're not going to get the money. But last year we had to deal with a whole bunch of opposition even filing this, which people will remember who was responsible for that. So a year was wasted when we could have been a year ahead of this game now. And we know who did that and who was responsible for that. Now, all I'm asking for, everything I quoted in those asks was from the Community Advisory Board requirements of the CPB. And I go back to what it says. Advise the governing body of the station. To take the LSB out of this equation is against the spirit of the statute. Remember, when they have talked about us in the past, that they wanted our LSBs to be cabs, that was them basically saying, why don't you do this? Because that's what happens. So that is why I insist that you have governing body of the station in there, because that is what the statute says. It does, you know, GM's fine. Of course they want to talk to the GMs. But to just have the cabs here, the LSBs have responsibility to make sure this is going on. And you can't let them off the hook. And they are being left off the hook if you just have the cabs come in and act independently of the LSB. It's ridiculous.
Beth, did you want to add anything? Because I see your hand up still, or is that a legacy?
I do want to add that the place to hammer out this level of detail is in committees, that that's what committees are for, and that I don't think this motion was ready to be brought forth. It shouldn't take up this much time of the entire board. If the motion had been brought forth to the committee in a timely manner and the committee had waited to vote on it until we had wording to approve, all of this would have taken place there. We would have had much more clarity. I think that Mr. Dingaman is, I think that the statutes the statutes are not familiar with our governance structure. So when they refer to governance, we have a couple of different levels of governance. We have several different levels of governance. And so it's not clear whether it's not clear. And that's why committees are there, is to take the time to hammer this out there. So I support Mr. Sagerton's amendment.
All right. Madam Chair, since my name was raised, I want to respond to this directly. I've run a community advisory board. I don't think you have, or there's only one or two people on this board who actually done that. And it was a no-brainer, frankly. Everything was here quoted from the statute. Since we have run community advisory boards when we receive money, okay? It's not, there's no, I was running a community advisory board when we received the money. So I really have to differ from Ms. Van Gutten on her comment about this, because I don't know if she's ever run a community advisory board, but I have. And so I know that these issues are no-brainers, and I would infer from some of the comments I made that some people decide to put in extra layers that revealed their lack of knowledge about how community advisory boards work. So that's my retort. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm sure time is up. And what I think I would like
to... It is up, actually, so go ahead.
Thank you. I think what I would like to do here is actually to just have Stephanie, who made a really solid recommendation, that she just reach out to the CAB chairs, find out what it is that they can report in terms of, you know, that list of questions. And then in the instance that there may be some that are, you know, just forming and they can't really answer the questions, then have Stephanie come back to our meeting in September on September 7th with as much information as she can get from CAB chairs and make a report. And then, the other thing we can do, folks, is we can make sure that reporting on CABs is a routine part of our first meeting of the month. And then we'll know whether, you know, progress is being made appropriately or not. And we'll know where to focus our efforts if we don't have the well-functioning CABs at all of the units. I think the intent here is everybody has the same intent. What we're arguing over is how's the best way to get there. But if we just let Stephanie take a crack at this and then come back to us in September and
point of order.
Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. There's a motion on the floor.
I know that. And what I'm arguing
and
is...
I don't think if we have the option of just setting aside that motion, you can vote it up or down, but propose that we substitute something entirely different. And I don't think it's the same.
What I was arguing effectively... although I didn't use these exact words, was to postpone this motion until we hear from Stephanie, who will take on trying to find out from the cab chairs. And then that way we can stop having to extend endlessly for 5 minutes or 6 minutes. And still we're no closer to having a motion to pass. I mean, Beth's right. You know, we are not ready to pass a motion this evening. As simple and straightforward as this should have seemed, when we probably started talking about it an hour ago when it was a 10-minute item on the agenda. I don't know if we started talking about it a whole hour ago, but it feels like it's been a long time. So, I move to postpone this item until the, until the next meeting. Thank you, Beth. Okay. Are there any objections to the motion to postpone?
Yes, I object.
Okay. Again, in the spirit of, I'm trying to keep us if we don't have to go to a roll call vote. Are there objections other than Jim Dingeman's to the motion to postpone? Yeah. Okay. Yes. Are there objections beyond Dingeman and Adriana? Hearing none, we'll consider the motion to postpone to the next meeting, passed, with objections from Adriana and Jim Dingeman. Okay. All right. Folks, that, brings us to the next item, which I'd actually given more time to. And that was, item 12, a motion on consultants during the current financial crisis. I said, see the appendix. This is item 13 in the appendix. Is that right? Item 13? Maybe my numbering system is wrong. Nope, it's item 12. Sorry. Okay, good. Item 12 in the appendix. One of the things you'll see if you look down in the appendix, there are two motions on consultants during the financial crisis. The first one was a motion that was passed by the KPFT LSB at their August 9th meeting. And the second one was a motion that was considered by the National Finance Committee at its August 8th meeting. And what I can say about that was, when the NFC considered it, it was in closed session. Most of the discussion was about whether it should be considered in closed session or in open session. The decision was to talk about it in open session. But then the meeting adjourned. So instead of going into open session, so the NFC effectively didn't take it up. There are some similarities between the two motions, but there are some differences. And, the thing that I will point out about the, calendar is that today is August 17th. The NFC next meets on Tuesday, the 22nd. But the PNB doesn't meet again for 3 weeks from this evening, which is September 7th. So if we, if the PNB, well, in effect, the KPFT LSB taking this up, basically means that we have a motion that's on the floor from the KPFT LSB. If we deferred to the NFC, then we wouldn't be able to pass a motion until September 7th. So, what could happen is the PNB could, pass a motion on this evening. Although as I noted, there's some differences between the two motions. So I see, Dingeman's hand and I see Beth's hand. Go ahead, Dingeman.
That's a legacy hand.
Oh, that was a legacy hand? Okay. Gotcha. Beth, was yours a legacy hand too? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then let me read the motion from the KPFT LSB. Whereas the Pacifica Foundation Incorporated is in an extreme ongoing crisis and KPFT contributed $52,000 in August to cover shortfall in health insurance payments, therefore be it resolved that the KPFT Local Station Board calls upon the directors who represent KPFT on the Pacifica National Board to support bullet point can be mandates for those Pacifica stations that are not currently self-sustaining to take those cost savings measures stipulated by the PNB and bullet that the PMB grant authority to the executive director to take all steps necessary to implement PNB directives. So that's the KPFT LSB motion. One thing about it is, you know, perhaps that it's a little on the general side, which is okay. Because the PNB would have to take motion and presumably the PNB would take, take action, and the PNB action would presumably be more specific than the KPFT motion was. Okay. The motion that was considered by the NFC at its August 8th meeting is the following. Whereas the Pacifica Foundation Incorporated is in an extreme financial crisis, therefore, the Pacifica National Board mandates that those Pacifica stations that are not currently self-sustaining eliminate all consultant positions immediately and implement emergency staff reductions within 10 days. The Pacifica National Board authorizes the Pacifica Executive Director to take all steps necessary to implement these directives. Okay. So technically speaking, the NFC motion is not on the floor because it didn't get passed by the NFC. The KPFT motion was a motion put forward to the PMB, but it doesn't give us specific instructions. So it's up to people what you want to do here. And you might want to do nothing, or you might want to do something. Okay, now I see Vanessa's hand and Dingman's hand. Go and then McFadden's. Go ahead, Vanessa.
So my question is, I mean, it sounds good when you say it, but I don't know the implications of it in terms of getting rid of all consultants. I don't know if, and I just don't know the implications station by station. If you get rid of X consultant, what duty do they perform? Who's going to perform it now? How's it going to impact the station? Is it reasonable to impose some sort of salary slashing, or I guess contract slashing, you know, whatever would be appropriate measure on the consultants? I mean, I know it's dire. I understand that, but just slashing kind of willy-nilly with no idea of what the impact would be would seem to potentially do more harm than good. So it's just unclear to me how that decision will be made. It just sounds like Stephanie would make the decision. But I would like to know, at least for my own station, maybe other people feel the same. If we get rid of consultants, you know, granted we're saving some money because they're not getting any benefits, but what happens to those functions and will that station suffer as a result?
Those are all good questions, Vanessa. I'll take a quick crack at answering it, which I think is that, you're right. That there are some consultants that perform services that we might think are fairly critical to the functioning of a station. And you could possibly argue that those consultants shouldn't be consultants, but should be employees. That's a different story. That's not the conversation we're having right now. But, you know, but on the other hand, I think there are other consultants who, or perhaps performing non-critical functions, right? That if those functions didn't continue to occur, the station could still stay on the air and, you know, broadcast just fine. But, you know, the question is, are we, do we wind up, you know, at the brink of potential payroll shortfalls and yet our consultants aren't necessarily facing the same degree of, a potential, you know, that we're paying them and the risk is on employees instead of right. on the consultants. So that's right. a fair question. So, you know, so, I mean, and it's not the same at every station and not all stations right. are not self-sustaining, right? So those are some of the distinctions there. So,
and I just want to say, I'm not asking the question in terms of making a pitch for or against consultants.
You're now 90 seconds.
But just trying to figure out how to do it in a thoughtful way that will, you know, not do harm.
Exactly. Good point. Dingman, you're next.
Well, Vanessa raises the very difficult issues about this, and let's talk bluntly about this. It was revealed in the discussion we had for an hour on community advisory boards. There's this absence of knowledge in the governance structure about, you know, what is our source of money? It's the programming. And we know that in two stations, in New York and in Los Angeles, the programming is not resonant with the metro areas it's in. Simple as that. We wouldn't be having these financial problems if it wasn't. In the case of Washington, Houston, and Berkeley, they're not, their picture is not perfect either. But those two areas are the weaknesses in the foundation right now. And again, we're not concentrating on what is the revenue earning thing. We always avoid that question. Now, we have absolutely probably little to nothing to not but to think about these kind of things, given the fiscal issues we're in. But then the problem becomes, and Vanessa sort of points this in a way, you know, what extent of layoffs and diminution of expenditures on salary will have an impact on the ability of that station to survive and thrive? That's a question. And one of the reasons why I asked 2 years ago to get this information about how much money's being owed, and I might add on the record that our friends in Berkeley threatened to sue me twice to get the information, and I know that now let me finish my comment. And I know that Mr. Dodsworth had put forth the motion I supported. That's the kind of information we need consistently to be able to make these judgments. And we're not getting that information. And it's essential for us to get that kind of information to make any common sense decisions about what's going on granularly at the stations in terms of their earning, since most of our money, 80 to 90% of our money comes in from listener members. And since we don't have that data, and I would like to see that data in granular form, some of this discussion is just arbitrary cost cutting, which may not have a short-term effect desired. It might save a little money, but it might cripple us in the long term.
Next is McFadden.
Somebody asked, you know, will stations suffer if we pass one of these motions? And the answer is yes. Is the network currently suffering without passing a motion like this? Yes. So something's got to give. I have to say, I don't like the wording in the second one where it says eliminate all consultant positions. Some consultants may be absolutely essential for that station to operate. I don't know if that's the case, but if it is, you shouldn't have to fire them. So I think it's important that, but I think alternatively, we can give the ED the authority to work with the GMs to eliminate, to order the GMs to eliminate consulting positions that can't be shown to be essential. Now, will there be consultants that might be essential for one show? Yes. If that's the case, well, they might have to lose that show. It's just they're going to have to come to that decision, but there's going to have to be enough cutting, at least for the short term, until we get our act together to get those stations back in balance. We just can't have stations continuing to have unbalanced budgets in the future. So I think that we're going to need some kind of modifications to this, and I'm not sure exactly what that wording should be. But we need to work on that right now.
Thanks, James. Darlene, you're up.
In response to Jim, we do have a very experienced person in terms of finance, and I want to let her be supported in doing what we need to do about all of this, and that's Stephanie. The executive director's got the financial acumen to make some of these decisions, and I agree with James McFadden in that consultant positions may in fact have absolutely critical people on it, and I would suggest a motion that allows Stephanie a little more leeway, not that she has to get rid of every consultant position, but I think as McFadden said, all but critical positions. So I don't want to be responsible for another amendment, but that's what I feel. It's like that's just the answer. Stephanie's got the acumen to look at this in depth, and we should support her in that, and we should lighten up just a little bit on her options for making choices about consultants. Thank you. I'll take my hand back.
Yeah, thanks, Darlene. Sagerton, you're next.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I think what everybody is beating around the bush but not saying exactly is what we need to do is look at these positions on a case-by-case cost-benefit analysis individually. And this broad axe approach of just chopping off all consultants, I think the general sense here is that that's not a good idea. I agree with that. And as far as Stephanie's powers, these are consultants we're talking about. These are not employees. This is not, you know, the PMB has a policy of firing and a hiring ban. You know, things are supposed to be passed by the PMB before people are hired and fired, but these are consultants we're talking about, not employees. And so WBAI, I know, has embarked on providing Stephanie with detailed information about who the consultants are and what they do so that we can begin that cost-benefit analysis on a case-by-case basis. And so there's nothing in Stephanie's powers that she has now that doesn't allow her to do that. And she's going to help us to do that because these decisions are not always popular within the stations. And to have the executive director supporting these kinds of decisions can help the general managers make them. And, you know, this is the way to go ahead. I agree that we need to go ahead and do this. I just am very much opposed to the broad axe approach of just cutting them. In an extended conversation after the NFC meeting I had with Stephanie, we talked about some of the people
90
who,
seconds.
The consultants that we're talking about. And for example, at WBAI, our webmaster is a consultant. We have one consultant who gets a bus pass, but he spends about more than 40 hours a week volunteering, and we give him a bus pass. Mo Thomas is a consultant. So we have to be careful about a broad axe approach. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to remind people, let's be careful not to, consultants are not employees, but if we don't need to identify specific people, that's generally speaking preferable. I'm sorry, would you say, Sagerton? I couldn't hear you.
I just wanted to say that, yes, I agree with you. If they were employees, we shouldn't mention names, but I was mentioning specifics here to indicate the need for that case-by-case analysis for some important people.
Fair enough. Okay. Folks, well, it took a little bit of the essence of what James McFadden said and took the NFC resolving clause, and I modified it slightly, and I just posted it in the chat, and I'm going to read it to people, and I will also send it out by email. But this is what I came up with. The Pacifica National Board authorizes, although one could argue maybe she already is, but authorizes the executive director to work with GMs to identify those consultants that are not demonstrated to be essential to the functioning of the Pacifica stations that are not currently self-sustaining and work to eliminate those consultant positions identified. The Pacifica National Board authorizes Pacifica Executive Director to take all steps necessary to implement these directives. Okay, I can see where I'm going to try that again. There might be some extra, like I'm not sure I need that last clause, that last sentence in there at all. Okay, so if I try it again, it says the Pacifica National Board authorizes the ED to work with GMs to identify those consultants that are not demonstrated, those consultant positions that are not demonstrated to be essential to the functioning of the Pacifica stations that are not currently self-sustaining and work to eliminate those consultant positions identified. So I could put that on the floor as a motion if someone either wants to be so kind as to second it or to...
I seconded it already.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Thank you, Fred. And I will.
So that's, send it. That's the motion, point of information.
Yeah, go ahead.
So that is that's the main motion.
Yeah, because technically speaking, as I mentioned before, the KPFT LSB sent a motion to the PMB, but it's not in the form of a motion that, you know, tells the PMB take this action. It's rather on the general side, right? And the NFC motion didn't actually pass the NFC. It's just what was put forward in front of the NFC that the NFC didn't get a chance to pass one way or the other, right? So,
okay, so it's just not an amendment.
It's not technically speaking, there's not really an amendment, a motion on the floor. It's that, and I think the spirit of both of these motions, right, was...
Okay. They were just for reference.
They were for reference, but the spirit of both of them is the same in the sense of, okay, you know, we're in deep financial trouble and we need to take specific actions that are going to start making a difference.
So the second one that you had in the chat is the motion on the floor. The
second one I had is the motion.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Can I make
put that on email?
Hang on.
I'll do it. I'll put it out.
I got sidetracked from the email.
James Sagerton, please mute, please.
I'm pulling our ears.
Okay. Hang on. I got you. I got you, folks. I'm just obviously overtired. I see Beth, then Sagerton, then in Nancy's hand. But go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. First, I agree that we shouldn't be using a chainsaw where a scalpel is required. And then on principle, I'm reluctant to grant blanket authority to management to act on behalf of the board on anything for which the board bears ultimate responsibility. And there's nothing to prevent the ED from bringing forth all necessary proposals for PNB consideration and approval now, which is standard operating procedure on most boards. I agree there's likely necessary and useful action to be taken on this. I have great confidence in Stephanie's discernment, but the board is the one that is the party that bears the ultimate responsibility for these decisions. And I look forward to receiving her proposal for our consideration. Thank you.
Next is Sagerton.
That he already has this authority because these are consultants we're talking about. I'd also like to get some clarity about what it means to be a self-sustaining station. It's my understanding right now that only one station is paying its central services. So, you know, if this applies to the other four stations, I would agree to that, so that we can, you know, have the whole network is in trouble. Let's have a look at the whole network as far as where we can save some money.
Darlene, you're up.
Yeah, I would defer from Beth that the most boards hyper manage their EDs on things that are not do not have legal implications. So I think Stephanie, as James Sagerton said, already has this authority. But there has been so much pushback that it is it is worthy of the board to make a statement that yes, Stephanie gets to talk to every GM about every budget line that she needs to talk about, especially those that reference consultants. So I don't want to preempt Stephanie taking action if we're going to in fact back her up for taking actions. Thanks.
Risa?
It's a little late to be discussing this tonight. You know, we spent, you know, to have 21 people, plus the staff and secretary, making decisions on everything. I think it's, we're in a rut, and it's a rut where we are supposed to be the lifeguard and we're being drowned. We're being pulled down, all of us. At some point, we have to decide, you know, because at this point, I guess, what can I say, everybody? If you have a plan for pulling us out of this, please speak now. If you have a plan, because we're just going down and down, further, further in debt, whereas I can see we will lose everything, everything. So if you have a better plan, please do it now. I mean, do we need to meet every single day? Because we're not really talking about raising money to pay our bills. We're not talking about how to lower our bills. And it just gets worse and worse. So I think at some point, I mean, we created rules for what our executive director could do and couldn't do. And we basically, I think, seems to me, we've tied her hands. And I'm just saying, let's get this started. And I think we probably need another executive session in a week or two to go even further, because I'm not seeing a solution to any of these problems. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll just remind everybody that despite the lateness of the hour, we are not in executive session. I know that's not what Teresa was just saying, but just in case anybody thought we were. Okay. Dingman, you're next.
All right. All of us feel what Teresa's feeling. Okay. The problem of the precarity. All right. That is what motivated us last year in postponing the elections. And I wanted to say that when we were having this debate about the bylaws earlier, when we were talking about the election options, we all are aware of these things. Things are happening in New York. People are very concerned about this. I sure as hell am. And, you know, the kind of things you're doing in, Houston, Teresa, we shortly hope to see implemented in New York. That is getting directly with the, folks that have, decided not to send money in and talking to them directly, which is a lot of hard work, but I know that will produce revenue. But the overall thing of trying to figure out, you know, again, we are a broadcast institution. We're not, you know, sitting here talking about the cost, the cost, the cost. We should be figuring out how to generate revenue. Generating revenue is through our content. That's how we create income. And, you know, I always find this frustrating to listen to these discussions, because we're always caught up in the practicalities of the latest crazy financial crisis, and we're not trying to think about how we fight our way out of it. And trust me, all of us here in the city, all of us in New York are well aware of the burden on us to make things happen here.
Seconds.
Period. Okay. We don't need anybody lecturing us about that. We don't need any draconian type measures put on that. We're well aware of that, and we're going to try to do as much as we can to turn it around. And yeah, I agree, Teresa. We don't want to see the whole thing implode. I sure as hell don't, especially in the times we are now as Americans and globally and nationally in our country.
Adriana.
Yes, I agree with Jim what you're saying. With Teresa, some part too. We know that we don't have the money, that we need to solve it. But it's true. At some point in time, you need to cut to, we are at the bare bone. If you don't generate revenue, you cannot keep cutting. Remember what happened? Know that long ago, and we're still paying for what happened with when some small group of people decide to take actions, and then we wind up with a bunch of lawsuits. I agree with Jim. We need to bring revenue. We need to bring money. It's not just cut, because it's not the solution neither. We need to have a functioning extension. We need to have programs that people want to hear. We need to serve our community. We need to increase revenue. And the second thing, we decide, please, if we want to keep talking, somebody need to stand, because our time, certain time, was almost 20 minutes ago. Do we need to spend time and keep discussing this?
You're at 90 seconds.
I mean, we can, okay, so I have McFadden, and Teresa, both of whom have spoken on this vague general issue before. I mean, I put a motion on the floor, there seems to be some debate as to whether we actually need a motion. It's not like, you know, I feel strongly about it. I mean, Stephanie, do you feel like you need a motion to empower you to do this? Would it be helpful, or do you feel like you already have the authority to, you know, do what you need to do? I mean, is this the kind of thing where, at least at the not so self-sustaining units, it would be easier for you to talk to the GMs about cutting people if the PMB passed a motion like this one?
Well, I've already been in conversation with WBAI, and about a week and a half ago, the general manager sent me a list of their consultants. There were 14. Out of those 14 consultants, he clearly stated that only 3 were essential. So we're now looking at, though, you know, definitely we have those 3, and then out of those remaining 14, there were probably 2 or 3 that were kind of, you know, let's take a closer look at what they're doing. One of the things in general with the amount of consultants that Pacifica has had historically is that the stations have been somewhat lackadaisical in maintaining current contracts and expectations for our consultants, and we also have a lack of detailed invoices and work performed for each consultant prior to getting paid. So in the big picture of a lot of things that we're doing with looking at closely at everybody's, you know, at bank statements and getting documentation that supports all the expenses that are on bank statements, is that we're also then working on getting what are the job descriptions of these consultants, who is essential, who is not. If they're dealing with programming, I can't deal, you know, but losing a consultant will be then mean losing a program. Then that would have to come to, that would have to then come to a vote, because I can't change anything with programming. So the stations that, you know, obviously are lower performing right now, we're focusing on WBAI, because it does have, you know, and the general manager is very eager, you know, to work with me. It was less than 24 hours that, you know, that he provided the consultant report. So we will definitely start at those, you know, keeping those 3 that he knows are essential, and then working our way through the remaining consultants that are throughout the company, and then determining, should these consultants be employees? Because that has caused problems for us in the past, and we really do need to take a close look. And again, that's just kind of the lazy way out of just making people consultants rather than employees. So, you know, would a motion be helpful? It would be helpful to the extent that, I mean, I, you know, there may be certain consultants that I'll then have to determine, can they be put on as a, you know, on payroll? And if it's a consultant that's dealing with programming, how can we, you know, possibly remove part of those consultants, you know, part of that may affect any sort of programming. But again, the big focus was WBAI, and the general manager is working with me on determining who's essential.
Yeah. And let me just ask a quick follow-up, which is to say, is the focus not so much on KPFK because there aren't as many consultants at KPFK?
Correct. And we have gone through I think it was March or April of last year when the board passed a motion to do, you know, an employee emergency reduction plan or something like that. So we have gone through, I mean, when you look at the number of employees that we have, within a month or so after I started, I believe we had close to 125, and we're now down to 80, 87. So we have had substantial cuts at the stations. We've removed some part-time employees and made part-time employees full-time employees because we have more consistency. KPFA has been doing that. Just because you have greater consistency if you have somebody that is a full-time employee, just because particularly with the cost of living in San Francisco, everybody, you know, has another job. So it was their decision to do that, and that's been working, and we've been doing it slowly. We've had a lot of cuts already at KPFK. The archives took a substantial cut, in their hours and their pay. We've had cuts at, all the other stations, starting with KPFT. We've had some cuts at the national level, and the only station that we really haven't taken a look at for any sort of reductions in salary or hours, or, you know, consultants and staffing is at WBAI. So that's why I'm focusing on that. Not so much, mostly just as a continuation of the motion that was originally passed last year. And it is, as Vanessa brought up, or I believe it was Vanessa or you that brought up, is that, you know, that was one of the big pushbacks that we had recently, or questions that were brought up, not only from the union, but also from employees, when we had to implement, which ended up, we didn't have to implement it at the last minute, but a 25% pay reduction in the non-union staff, is that it is very disheartening. Again, no offense to our consultants, but consultants are vendors. So, you know, we're putting a lot of our vendors on hold to be paid, but yet our consultants are getting paid immediately. Other vendors are not, and they are a vendor, and our staff is having to take a pay cut because of that. So it really needs to take a close look at the consultants are vendors and need to be treated as vendors. And rather than not paying those consultants as a vendor, then we need to just let them go and take a closer look as to what we're expecting of them and having a contract with many of them.
Got it. So it does sound like you see merit to having a motion passed. And it also sounds like one of the benefits of taking this careful look at consultants is that it means that you'll have a better handle on, you know, which of those consultants that are out there that are basically performing what are effectively essential functions. And even if it's their personal preference to be a consultant as opposed to an employee, the fact is it, you know, there's some chance that it's not fully consistent taking that approach as being a consultant with labor and tax laws. And that's why, you know, we need to, you know, do the right thing and abide by those laws, you know, and avoid potential future fines or other serious trouble for Pacifica. Because we don't really have the spare resources.
Julie, this is the 30 minutes is up.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Okay, folks. So I put the motion on the floor and it was seconded. I think I put enough wiggle room in there, you know, that, you know, adopting what McFadden said about and Vanessa, the point about not, you know, taking a sledgehammer when, you know, a more refined tool is appropriate. That was Beth's analogy, except I butchered the analogy. How do people feel about going to a vote on the motion since our time is up?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes. Should I read the motion again?
I believe when you do read the motion, Madam Chair, I do believe you need to have a comma after the word stations. And I think you, oh, I'm sorry, after self-sustaining. And you should have the word T-O before the word work.
Before the word?
Before the word work.
Okay.
To work, that is what you said.
To identify and to work.
Okay. Okay. So it's, let me see if I get it right. The Pacifica National Board mandates that those stations, wait a minute. Sorry, I'm in the wrong place. I was just reading the NFC motion. Sorry. Pacifica National Board authorizes the ED to work with GMs to identify those consultants who are not demonstrated to be essential to the functioning of the Pacifica stations, comma, that are not currently self-sustained. No. Is that right? Is that where the comma went?
Put the comma after the word self-sustaining.
Oh, okay. That are not currently self-sustaining, comma, and work to eliminate those consultant positions identified.
And to work was her thing. And to work to eliminate those consultant
to work
positions.
To eliminate. Okay. I'm sorry. There was a to work above and I was like, the word's already there. I get you. So it's currently self-sustaining, comma, and to work to eliminate. Yes. Thank you. Okay.
Point of information.
I'm going to do it one more time in the chat.
Go ahead. Consultant positions or?
Well, I've said it both ways. And so here's the rub, I think actually. Let's call it consultant positions. Technically speaking, oftentimes in HR speak, position really means job, which means employee. But I think as long as we're careful that we are only talking about it's the position. It's not the consultant. Really, it's not the person filling that role. It's the function. How about if we say, and those consultant functions? No, cause then I have that. No, here we go. Leave it. The Pacifica National Board authorizes the ED to work with GMs to identify those consultant positions that are not demonstrated to be essential to the functioning of the Pacifica stations that are not currently self-sustaining, comma, and to work to eliminate those consultant positions identified there. That hangs. Okay.
And then a point of information.
Sure. Go ahead.
Is that followed by the Pacifica National Board authorizes the Pacifica Executive Director to take all steps necessary to implement these directives? Is that part of it too?
I felt like that was redundant. It didn't add any value.
Okay. All right. Thank
you. So I think that what I posted in the chat is the entire motion.
Got it. Okay.
Okay.
thank you.
Are there any objections to the motion?
I have a point of information, Madam Chairman.
Yeah, point. Go ahead, Adriana.
Is any way that in our next meeting we will have a report that will come to the board and we will know what's going on?
I think Stephanie would surely agree to that. I mean, who knows how much progress she'll make in 3 weeks, but she surely will have some information gathered. It might be something that we,
Thank you.
Yeah, I object on these grounds that, I agree the necessity to cut costs are, but I know the complexities of these different contractors and I don't think it's been sufficiently addressed and can't be in open session. Since we'd have to deal with personnel issues. Thank you.
Okay. So I will remind people that, consultants aren't employees. And so in that sense, they don't have the same kind of, protections. That said, I think if part of what we're going to wind up discussing is the fact that perhaps some functions that are being fulfilled by consultants ought to be fulfilled by, employees. That strikes me as a closed session discussion. I see a whole bunch of hands and I don't really know why everybody has hands up because, I'm sorry. Donna's saying she has to go. Okay, people, I'm really exhausted, obviously. Did we just pass the motion?
Some people are holding up their hands in order to call the motion.
Thank you. Thank you. No, you I was about the motion. To.
I just emailed it.
Sorry. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah. It's okay. Yeah, I started to ask if there were any objections, and Adriana made a point or asked a point of information. So, okay, so let me go back to voting on the motion. Are there any objections to the motion?
Yeah, I objected, and I mentioned why. Thank you.
Oh, okay, okay. So again, to see if we could avoid a time absorbing. Roll call vote. Can I see if there are any objections other than Jim Dingaman's objection?
Could you put me down too? This is Beth. Sorry.
Sure. Okay. Anyone besides Beth and Jim Dingaman who would like to object?
I'd like to abstain.
Okay.
I'd like to abstain too, Madam Chair.
Okay. That's all right. That's all right. Again. Maybe I can save us from going through the whole roll. So I have Beth and Dingaman objecting, Ali, Lexa, and Adriana abstaining. Is that everybody? Okay. Then the motion passes over the abstentions of Adriana and Ali, Lexa, and the objections of Beth Von Gunten and Jim Dingaman. Okay. All right.
Can we move to adjourn, Madam Chair?
So, no. What we can do is we can go to, the second executive session. And so to do that, we need to, Stephanie. Okay. So, item 13 on the open session agenda was the general counsel report and Q&A, and Arthur couldn't stay for the open session. Item 14 is the ED report and Q&A, and Stephanie, I just wanted to give you the opportunity. Is there anything that you would like to report in open session?
Yes, I will make it short. One thing, there's been some emails that are going back and forth and some blogs and things that are being sent to me saying that we as a foundation are delinquent with the California Secretary of State nonprofit registration. That is not true. Although it says on the website, delinquent, we are not delinquent. It just hasn't been changed as per the Secretary of State on the website. We are not banned from raising money. We are not facing any fines. We are not in bad standing or poor standing. What had happened is that you file every year with the California Secretary of State nonprofit registration. Last year when it was filed, NEDA actually filed an older form. It was not on purpose. That just happened to be the form that was on the website that they had. And the required fee for that registration was $400. They submitted that form. I signed it. We submitted the check. That was back in 2022. And then when I was submitting another request this current year to letting the Secretary of State know that we were going to be late in filing for our audit, when they were referring and looking through our paperwork and they said, no problem, you can, you know, we're granting you an extension. They realized that the form that we had filled out last year was actually an old form for the secretary for the nonprofit registration, and that the new form actually had an increased fee of to $575. So in early July, they sent me the new form that was filled out, I believe July 3rd, July 4th. I sent them a check for $175. Everything is clear. They just have not put on the website yet that we are not delinquent. So anybody that is seeing that paper, seeing those blogs, seeing those emails coming out, you know, pointing fingers and saying that we're doing things wrong, it is not true. There are no issues.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephanie. I wonder if we could post that on the Pacifica website, you know, just so that, I don't know if it wouldn't be too difficult to put it out there somehow.
I can make a statement and send it to Otis.
Awesome. Okay.
Other questions for
Stephanie? Yeah, go ahead, Beth. Beth first, then Damon.
Thanks. I was just hoping that we could all receive that statement in writing, because I get questions about this too, and it would help to know if I want to get my details right.
Of course, yes.
Thank you. Okay, good.
Damon?
Thank you. Stephanie, under the KPFT meeting, you discussed these arguments that are being made that there were two bridge loans offered in California to you by one of the parties in one of these lawsuits. And I was wondering if you could, in open session, whatever you can, clarify that. I understand you talked about this in open session in Texas. What are the facts that you can actually talk about on the record in open session about those two offers that were made?
See how he's redundant?
He already did that, Jim.
When?
Let Stephanie answer.
When? Who's asking me?
Jim, stop it. Darlene was asking you, and I shut her down. Let Stephanie answer the question if she feels like it.
You're muted. Sorry, I turned off the camera rather than the mute. I believe that we did talk about it at one point before, but I'm happy to say it again. There was only one loan that was offered. I've not been approached by two separate people. There was a meeting that was with some individuals from an investment firm that I met with at KPFK with our general manager. And at the time when that group met with us, they were not under the, they did not know that we had two loans already, the FJC and the EIDL loan. They also did not know that out of those two loans that our properties were listed as collateral. So when they first came in, they thought, well, of course, this is a great company. We've got these buildings. They've got these towers. They've got the archives. They've got all this stuff. Of course, we're going to give them a loan. But once they took a look at our financials and understood that we had loans, they were not interested in providing a loan to us at that time. And that was just early conversations. They weren't even there to say, we're going to give you a loan. They were just, you know, eager and hoping that they could give us a loan. The other loan that was offered, word has gone around that it's like $3.5 million, long-term, 30 years, 8%. That was not the case with the loan officers that I spoke with. I spoke with the direct person that had been recommended. He recommended me then to two other people that we talked with. So there was a group of three different financial advisors that were talking about this loan. The loan that was actually offered was $3 million over 2 years. So it was a short-term bridge loan that was 11 to 14%, and it was to be used only to pay off the FJC loan, and the interest alone, and we would have to pay the loan back as soon as the KPFK building was sold, and we would have to start paying the interest payments every month starting between 60 to 120 days. The interest on the $3 million, $3 million, if you do the math, we owe FJC 2.7. That would leave us $300,000, which is actually less than what the interest would be on the $3 million loan. So if we were to use that loan to pay off the FJC loan, we would actually be losing money in the long run. So it was not a 30, the group that we met with at KPFK, one, they were not there to offer us a loan. They were eager to give us a loan, unknowing that they had not seen our financials, and they did not know that we already had a $2.7 million and a $2 million loan out. And the second group, it was not a $3.5 million, 30-year low-interest loan. It was a $3 million, 11 to 14% short-term bridge loan payable in less than 2 years.
All right. Any other questions for Stephanie? Okay. We absolutely positively have to go into closed session. We may not have to do a whole lot in closed session, but we have to move into closed session again because there's something that we didn't do early on. And the reason we didn't do it early on was because I was eager to get Arthur, who had some commitments, some other commitments this evening, to fit him into a window, and also, you know, not have a super late start to the meeting in terms of the open session. So I wanted to be a little more predictable, and we did okay on that. So I would entertain a motion to move into closed session. Thank you, James.
I'll second.
Thank you, Heather. Any objections to the motion to move into closed session? Hearing none, we will do that.